The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
When I came into office, I inherited a deal that President Trump negotiated with the Taliban. I know there are concerns about why we did not begin evacuating Afghan civilians sooner. Part of the answer is some of the Afghans did not want to leave earlier. And part of it because the Afghan government and its supporters discouraged us from organizing a mass exodus to avoid triggering, as they said, a crisis of confidence. So what's happened? Afghanistan political leaders gave up and fled the country. The Afghan military collapsed, sometime without trying to fight. If anything, the developments of the past week reinforced that ending U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan now was the right decision.
We have a Joe Biden sighting. He made an appearance yesterday for 10 minutes. For 10 minutes, he spoke to the American people, blamed everyone but himself for the fiasco, for the debacle in Afghanistan, for the surrender, for the nightmare images coming out of Afghanistan, the Kabul airport yesterday, people hanging on to this military plane. The wheel wells trying to get out of the country. And some reports suggesting that a couple people fell off the plane after it took off. Well, there's Joe Biden. He appears for 10 minutes and then it's back to the basement. And a really interesting little wrinkle to this story, too, is just how the propaganda media are treating Joe Biden. They have protected him. They have sheltered him. They have backed him. They have supported him. But boy, in listening to some of the mainstream coverage yesterday, you would never know it. It makes you wonder if something behind the scenes changed. He, of course, is the puppet master is Barack Obama. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. We thank our producer, Sam Livingston, for filling in yesterday. We have a lot of college activities going on at the moment, but we're certainly glad to be back here, particularly when there's just so much going on, so much Bible prophecy being fulfilled, and we'll get to much of that on today's show. Just wanted to mention we had our final performance, at least for this season, of Celtic Throne last night. Just a beautiful and powerful and uplifting show. More than 700 people in attendance. Two people were leaving and told our concert manager we really needed this show at this time. So much hope. Such a positive message. So uplifting. And at a time when there's just so much darkness and evil in this world, so many people acting in sheer desperation to try to get out of Kabul, and you can't blame them with the Taliban going door to door, taking names, telling them as soon as America's gone, you're going to be gone too. And so they're doing things like hanging on to an airplane that's taking off, or hanging on to the stairwell, trying to fight the crowds to squeeze into one of those military transports. What a milestone this is. The whole world is watching. And it's not just the disintegration of Afghanistan that the world is witnessing. We're witnessing the demise of the American empire as well. That's even of greater significance. Germany is taking note. China, Russia. China's embassy in Kabul is doing just fine, by the way. So they're going to be there ready for business. But think about the repercussions of what has happened just in the last few days. Just this morning, there was a report that the PLA, the Chinese army, they were conducting live fire assault drills right near Taiwan. Sam just showed me a tweet from a China official telling America to stop official contacts, arms sales, and military ties with Taiwan. See, if the Taliban gets to take over Afghanistan, well, there's China saying, Taiwan is ours then. Taiwan is next. The superpower has gone missing. And what must Russia be thinking with respect to Ukraine and the Baltic states? What about Iran? Iran's looking at Afghanistan, and I'm sure the mullahs are rubbing their hands together as well. Opportunities galore for all of these nations that just love to see the great Satan, the superpower nation of the United States, in a free fall, just like those people dropping off the plane. That's what's happening to the United States of America. And everyone's witnessing it. We just had our orientation lectures yesterday. 20 years, Herbert Armstrong, 20 years ago this month, we had our very first orientation for the college. And we talked there, as I was telling some of the students yesterday, we talked about small beginnings. We talked about how that God was behind it, even though we were starting with just 8 students, that God was going to bless it. We talked about all the advantages of a small college. And my father, in his orientation lecture from 20 years ago, he spoke about Bible prophecy. Where are we in Bible prophecy? That was in August of 2001. And a few months before that, in May of 2001, he announced that we had entered into the last hour, language used by the Apostle John in 1 John 2. In May of 2001, we had entered into, the world had entered into the last prophetic hour before the return of Christ, the spectacular return of Jesus Christ to this earth. There's the book there. If you don't have a copy of it, call our operators and request The Last Hour by my father, Gerald Fleury, the toll-free number here in the States, 1-866-930-3024. So he announces that in May of 2001, a few months later, we opened the college, and not long after that, less than 2 weeks after we opened the college, the world watched in terror, live, as 19 Islamist terrorists flew those hijacked jetliners into the World Trade Center, into the Pentagon. And, of course, the one that went into the ground, that Pennsylvania field. And the world changed on that day. We're coming up to the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. The world changed and the world watched. They watched on television this war play out. They watched in shock. On that day, nearly 3,000 Americans were murdered. 3,000 murdered. And now, look at some of the images we're seeing over the weekend. Now images are out there of the carnage. The carnage carried out by the same types of people. I mean, we're a generation on. But here's a new generation of terrorists. And they've just been sweeping across the nation of Afghanistan even faster than the United States has been able to retreat. The United States. I've got to take you back, though, just to try to give us some context here. Take you back to the day, that September day, 20 years ago, when America came under attack, as I say, and the whole world, just like they are today, the whole world was watching. This is a YouTube video. We've kind of trimmed it down just a little bit, but it's a pretty good synopsis of what was happening on 9/11. Clip 7.
American 11, are you trying to call?
The cockpit is not answering their phone. Our number 1 has been stabbed, and our 5 has been stabbed. Hey, I'm going to call from Washington. I am in a situation where the American is under possible hijack.
What's going on, Betty? The crap is erratic again. Problem, you're erratic. Betty, talk to me. Betty, are you there? Betty? Betty?
A plane just landed.
What?
Was it 737?
It what?
Like the World Trade
Center. United 175, New York. We have some problems over here right now. We might have a hijack over here, two of them.
Jules, this is Ryan. Listen, on an airplane that's been hijacked. If things don't go well, and it's not looking good, I just want you to know I absolutely love you. I want you to do it. So happy to sign. Same to my parents and everybody. And I just totally love you, and I'll see you in Denver. Bye, babe.
Crystal City, just north of Crystal City.
Just to the north of your town.
Yeah, stop all the parkers.
Pentagon just got hit. Don't put in that unit protection like an NCA.
United 93, that traffic for you is 1 o'clock, 12 miles eastbound, 370.
Negative contact, we're looking, United 93.
Hey! United 93, Cleveland, if you hear the center, ident.
I got some pitch to knock. Keep remaining to be out of all boats.
Tuesday, 9:47 a.m.
Hi, baby. Baby, you have to listen to me carefully. I'm on a plane that's been hijacked. I'm on the plane. I'm calling from the plane. I want to tell you I love you. Please tell my children that I love them very much. And I'm so sorry, babe. I hope to be able to see your face again, baby. I love you. Bye.
Sean, it's me. I just wanted to let you know I love you, and I'm stuck in this building in New York. There's lots of smoke, and I just wanted you to know that I love you always.
No,
say
I'm gonna die.
Ma'am, say your prayers.
God.
We're gonna think positive because you gotta help each other get off the floor.
I'm
now.
Gonna die.
A new type of war. That's what it is.
There's a quote from George Bush on the screen there. Time is passing, yet for the U.S., there will be no forgetting September 11. We will remember everyone, the rescuers, everybody will remember the fire, the ash, the last phone calls, the funerals for children. The president at the time, George W. Bush, gave some rousing speeches. That happened just 2 weeks after our first orientation, where my father was telling the students at God's College that we had entered into the prophetic last hour of human civilization before the return of Jesus Christ. What a sobering sign that we really had entered into that prophetic time frame. What a sobering sign that we had entered into the last hour. And now, 20 years into a war spawned by that atrocity you just saw in that montage, a war that's ending, if you can even say it's ending, with even more atrocities, and we're seeing just how bad it's getting, and we're getting a preview of just how bad it's going to get. If you've got the Taliban sweeping across Afghanistan, all of these revenge killings, the murder, the raping of little girls, teenage girls being handed over to these Taliban fighters. All of this American weaponry just left behind. How bad is it going to get? What will it take to wake us up? Is it going to take another 9/11? Is it going to take something even worse? Well, in the case of 9/11, those of you that are old enough to remember, most of the new students coming into God's College now, they don't remember it. That's why they need to see videos like that from time to time. But the 9/11 terror attack, it shocked America. It shocked Americans into action. There was a momentary period of unity, of bipartisanship, if you can believe it. Church attendance spiked. Patriotism surged. Political parties, as I say, they set aside their differences. Allies rushed to America's defense. And George W. Bush, as I said, he was providing some strong leadership and some rousing speeches. Listen to this clip from 20 years ago, clip 8.
Our war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but it does not end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated.
Every terrorist group. Now, President Bush targeted Al-Qaeda there at the beginning, that Islamist movement headed up by Osama bin Laden. And he was provided safe haven in Afghanistan by the Taliban. The Taliban! And the United States demanded that the Taliban regime hand over Osama bin Laden, but they didn't do it. And so the first stop in the war on terror, it was in Afghanistan, October 7, 2001. The United States invaded Afghanistan. Operation Enduring Freedom forced the Taliban from power. Bin Laden, of course, had escaped into the hills of Pakistan. But the Taliban was crushed. Or so we thought. So we were told. Time Magazine, this is from December 17th, 2001. The cover on Time Magazine, The Last Days of the Taliban. That was Time Magazine. Now, what was the trumpet saying at that time? What was the trumpet writing 20 years ago when the war against terrorism began? In the weeks that followed 9/11, that horrifying attack, and the American superpower flexing its mighty military muscle. As I say, Americans were shocked into action, and there was a show of force. But what was the trumpet forecasting? Well, of course, we base our forecasts on Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy, the sure word of Bible prophecy. We wrote that America would lose in Afghanistan. Not because we're cheering for our nation's demise, but because of what it says in prophecies like Leviticus 26. We wrote that America would lose in Afghanistan because of our many sins. So who was right? Was Time Magazine right? The last days of the Taliban, they're gone for good. Who ended up being right with its forecast? Time Magazine or the trumpet? Time Magazine or God's Magazine? Time Magazine or Bible Prophecy? Our many sins, those prophecies in Leviticus, by the way, speak of our nation losing the pride in its power. It speaks of our nation spending its military strength in vain. Here's what we wrote. The trumpet has often spoken of the King of the South, Daniel 11 and verse 40, likely being a potent Middle Eastern country leading a coalition of nations united by radical Islam. This is an article in the November 2001 edition by Joel Hilliker. It says, it is religion that feeds the murderous aims of the terrorists, and as we have often said, religion that will bind together this diverse, generally fractious international power. No Bible prophecy speaks expressly of a direct conflict between the U.S. and the King of the South, Prophecy instead explicitly tells of the demolition of the Mideast power by the King of the North, the European Union. Realize what this means, the trumpet wrote. The U.S. won't be the victors in this war. Europe will. The U.S. will not win this war. We said that in November of 2001. And what did Time magazine say? The last days of the Taliban. The last days of the Taliban. You look at the cover there. I think they're trying to pull it up there in the control room. What a headline. There's your Time magazine from 20 years ago. The Taliban are over. They've been wiped out. The United States crushed them. And here over the last 2 weeks, America's withdrawal, America's retreat, it can't even keep pace with the Taliban's advance. They are marching right across the nation. They're tweeting about it. You got Taliban people who are tweeting about their military successes, even as Donald Trump can't even get on Twitter. He's been banned. Twitter is an American company. What does that tell you about the world we're living in today? What does that tell you about the attack coming on the United States of America from within and from without, we now see? Lots and lots of losses and setbacks to go around. Why is it happening? Because your Bible prophesies that the tremendous strength of the American superpower, it would be spent in vain. 20 years since we gave you that prophetic forecast. And in those 20 years since, the United States spent $2.3 trillion in Afghanistan during its war in Afghanistan, and sacrificed 6,000 American soldiers and contractors, about 2,400 soldiers and something like 3,500 U.S. contractors, Americans working there, 6,000 Americans. And what was the goal? You can have all of these, you know, humanitarian side benefits, but the goal going in was to stop the Taliban from returning to power. And did that happen? What a spectacular failure. The fake president, Joe Biden, pulls the plug on the operation. And in some cases, like with the Bagram airfield, in the dead of night, didn't even tell the Afghan forces that were supposed to be there to resist against the Taliban push. Listen to this from the fake president on July 8th. This is just a little over a month ago, clip 9.
We did not go to Afghanistan to nation build. And it's the right and the responsibility of the Afghan people alone to decide their future and how they want to run their country.
Okay, and a lot of Americans agree with that. But then you just up and leave in the dead of night? You just hand it over, including all of the military equipment, to a terrorist organization? Biden, of course, earlier this year, he wanted to make the withdrawal official on September 11th, of all things. And then people kind of came forward, or at least discreetly said, I don't think you want to retreat from Afghanistan on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So he's pushed it up. Their speed is of the essence. They're getting out just as fast as they can. And along the way, you know, for anyone like at that same press conference where he was talking there, reporters said, well, you know, some are saying this could be like the fall of Saigon. The Americans withdrawing, American officials in shame, being airlifted out. All of that happened on Sunday. But Biden, back in July, said there's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of an embassy of the U.S. from Afghanistan. It is not at all comparable. He said that in July. And about five weeks later, they were airlifting people out of the U.S. embassy all through the day on Sunday. The embassy was burning because they burned all their documents. They destroyed the computers. And they got out. They had to be airlifted out. Just like in 1975 with Vietnam. Only worse this time. Even more humiliating. And the world just in stunned silence. Some of them pretty outspoken, saying this is a shock. I'll get to the reaction coming out of Europe and other places in just a bit. But all these helicopters on Sunday lifting people back and forth, back and forth. This is America's leadership today. We know it's a fraudulent, illegitimate leadership, but still, the people heading up the Pentagon, the intelligence agencies, the White House, of course. What a shameful and embarrassing failure. This was Tucker Carlson last night on his show, clip two.
And that's the main lesson of the fall of Kabul. We are led by buffoons. They have no idea what they're doing. We know that now. They're imposters. Everything they touch turns to chaos, not just there, but here.
Everything that they touch. It's interesting he uses the word imposters. He's right about that. It's an attack from within. Who are the people behind the scenes that are quite happy to just give all of the military weaponry, Humvees, tanks, machine guns, equipment, to just give it to these monsters that are raping teenage girls? This is where we are 20 years on. We go in to crush the Taliban. Time magazine says it's the last days of the Taliban. And we leave 20 years later, and the Taliban have more weapons, more power than they had even 20 years ago. I think we need to wake up and start examining Bible prophecy. If you're not a subscriber to the Trumpet magazine, you should be. We've got this publication too. He was right. He was right. Takes you right through some of the prophecies that Mr. Armstrong was getting back into in the 1950s and 60s. The U.S. and Britain in prophecy, by the way. I mean, that book prophesied of the spectacular rise to power of the United States and Britain. But it also speaks of our demise, our humiliating demise. Subscribe to our magazine so that you can get God's perspective, God's view. Can we really put our faith and our trust in human leaders? The human experts? They're all over the place. And just like with the vaccine mandates, just like with the masks and whatnot, an Australian official, I forget which state, just yesterday saying you can't even take your mask off to take a drink if you're outside. I mean, these are people who are drunk on power. It's like, those are like Taliban regulations happening in Australia. Listen to John Kirby. This is from 4 days ago. He's pretty high up at the Pentagon, clip three.
Kabul is not right now. In an imminent threat environment.
Yeah, no threat, he says, Friday or Saturday. And then Sunday, they're having to destroy everything in the embassy and then be airlifted out to someplace next to the airport. And then you see the scenes from the airport yesterday. That's a high U.S. official at the Pentagon saying, there's nothing. If you think of it, it's perfect, isn't it? This is the perfect organization or administration, the Biden administration, to carry out a perfect retreat. He said in a speech yesterday, I stand by my decision. Everything's going according to plan. The U.S. just left that airfield, which is what really kept the Taliban at bay for a number of years. The Bagram airfield base, they left it in the dead of night without U.S. air power. All these other allies, even of the United States, there were other troops in there, not just American troops. But without U.S. air power, I mean, they're getting out as fast as possible. And we abandoned the base literally in the dark of night. We pulled the plug on the base, and the Afghan army did not even know. This happened just a few weeks ago. And then here comes the Taliban just racing across the country. gets to Kabul and it falls within a day or two. Listen to, I mean, we left, as I said, all of these civilian vehicles, hundreds of armored vehicles. They now have the capital city. The president of Afghanistan has fled the country. Look at these scenes. People trying to get on airplanes just so they can get out because they know they're going to be killed if they don't. They know if they had any kind of a close relationship with the American forces, their life, their physical life is over. The revenge killings are coming. They've already started. Really sad and painful to watch. All of these desperate people trying any way that they can to get out. To get out. Humvees, ammunition, even Black Hawk helicopters. Listen to, this is Major General Hank Taylor from the Pentagon yesterday, asked about if there was any plan to try to prevent this this military hardware from just falling right into the hands of the Taliban. Listen to this response, clip four.
So there's no U.S. actions being taken to prevent equipment from falling into the hands of the Taliban by destroying it or anything else?
I don't have that answer to that question.
You don't have the answer?
I don't have an answer to that question. Is there any plan to just try to prevent it from falling into the hands of the Taliban? Don't have an answer. It's perfect, isn't it? It's perfect. He does not have an answer. So much for the war on terror. What was it George Bush said 20 years ago? We will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated. And what was the trumpet forecast? You'd do well to go back and look at it. That's an issue that's on our website even. It's online. TheTrumpet.com. 20 years of war. And the only thing the United States accomplished in Afghanistan is what? To provide the terrorists who were responsible for blowing up the World Trade Center, or certainly they helped Al-Qaeda. They provided safe haven for Osama bin Laden. Now these terrorists have better weapons for additional attacks, further attacks, future attacks around the world. The official newspaper of the Communist Party in China said America's defeat proves that Washington is an unreliable partner that always abandons its partners or allies to seek self-interest. They're laughing. They're cheering, in fact. Yeah, I mentioned yesterday at the orientation lecture, if you go back before 9/11, go back to the Soviet Union's war with Afghanistan. 10 years, 1979, 1989. And when, if you know about the 80s, the Soviet Union was beginning to disintegrate. And if you need a pretty good visual of that disintegration, it was the Soviet Union getting out of Afghanistan. I forget the exact date at the end of 1989. But in the West, the United States and Britain, they were cheering the demise, the disintegration of the Soviet Union. This was the destruction. It was on television for all to see. The evacuation, the retreat from Afghanistan. That was 1989. And here we are in 2021. And what do you think they're doing in Moscow, in Beijing, in Tehran, in Kabul, in other nations across the Middle East? In Germany, yes, even in Germany. What do you think they're doing? They are cheering the demise, the disintegration of the American empire. That's what they're doing. And you've got China already coming out, breathing threats against Taiwan, telling the United States, you better keep your distance. Taiwan's going to fall next. This is a headline. I forget where it was from. The U.S. is evacuating staff from Kabul. Russia and China are not. So what does this mean? The U.S. is evacuating, but not Russia and China. They're there. That means they're there willing to work with the Taliban. Yeah, they've probably got a new trade partner. I mean, China's got its sights set on all of the mineral wealth in Afghanistan. Russia, I'm sure, is looking at opportunities as well. Rushing to fill the power void. And then you have headlines coming out of Europe. Deutsche Welle says Taliban surge in Afghanistan, EU and NATO in a state of shock. The EU and NATO in a state of shock. One EU spokesman said, "We must now do everything we can to ensure that those fleeing, the refugees, get protection close to home." Now, we want them to be safe, but it needs to be somewhere around Afghanistan, maybe next door in a nation, but certainly not here in Europe. This is from Politico. Disbelief and betrayal. Europe reacts to Biden's Afghanistan miscalculation. Disbelief and betrayal. This is in Europe. Is this prophetically significant? You go back to that article we had from 20 years ago. America's not going to win this war. Europe is. Germany is. Now look at some of the statements coming out of Europe. Politico pulls it all together. It says here, across Europe, officials have reacted with a mix of disbelief and a sense of betrayal. Even those who cheered Biden's election and believed he could ease the recent tensions in the transatlantic relationship said they regarded the withdrawal from Afghanistan as nothing short of a mistake of historic magnitude. And so what a turning point we're at. What a milestone we have reached, prophetically speaking. It says here, while Merkel has avoided direct criticism of Biden behind the scenes, she has made it clear that she considered the hasty withdrawal a mistake. This is huge. This is a huge mistake. Hasty withdrawal. One German politician, again, they're biting their tongue a little bit. But those that are persistent, reporters that is, they're picking up on some pretty sharp rebuke for the fake president of the United States. One German politician said this was the biggest fiasco since the founding of NATO. I guess he didn't like the founding of NATO either. But he sees this as a fiasco. Another one quoted as saying that they're shocked. They're shocked at what is happening in Afghanistan. And of course, as you would expect, and again, this aligns perfectly with Bible prophecy, there's a lot of people in Europe calling for Europe to act now on its own, separate and apart from the United States, independent of the United States power, military might. We've got to go it alone. The U.S. Army is abandoning Afghanistan, and they're abandoning us in some ways. So we've got to do our own thing. European, more independence, more unilateral action coming out of Europe. That's what we can expect. Is that significant prophetically? Politico says this, at a time when some European leaders, including French President Emmanuel Macron, have been pushing for the bloc to pursue a security policy less dependent on America, Afghanistan is bound to be used as evidence for why strategic autonomy is necessary. Wow. This is big. This is huge. It says, naturally, this has damaged American credibility along with that of the intelligence services and of the military, said Rudiger Lentz, the former head of the Aspen Institute of Berlin. One can only hope that the damage to America's foreign policy leadership can be quickly contained. So they point out how that for Germany in particular, Afghanistan, I mean, this represents quite the sucker punch. Because this was Germany's biggest foreign military intervention since World War II. They sent troops into Afghanistan. They lost, I think, something like 60 soldiers. And so now they're looking at the United States, all of that air power, the U.S. just cutting and running. And Germany's left to wonder, well, we're going to have to act on our own. We're going to have to carry out our, we're going to have to act on self-interest. We can't rely on the U.S. power. And that's what China's saying. They're over there gloating. We're going to go after Taiwan. And oh, just so that you know, we're going to make a big pronouncement. The U.S. is not a reliable ally. Well, they certainly agree with that sort of statement in Afghanistan. Those that are terrified of the Taliban, that is. Both the American allies and America's enemies, they know that the most powerful military on earth does not have the will to defeat a group of nomadic tribesmen. Let's call it what it is. It's a ragtag bunch that lives up in the mountains, and they've got some rifles and some Toyota trucks, and that's it. And the U.S., no match for them. Now they've got a lot more. They've got the Humvees. They've got airplanes. They've got jets. They've got helicopters. And they've got some American rifles as well. Left behind. Melanie Phillips, in her piece from yesterday, it says, in the unholy armory of the enemies of the West, their single most important weapon is their understanding that the West is no longer willing to do what it needs to do to defend itself. See, in other words, the West has a broken will. America has a broken will. It's lost the pride of its power, the pride that it used to have in its power. Melanie Phillips' article is titled The Rout of America. Who could have ever thought, with the tremendous show of force 20 years ago, the United States just unleashing this superpower, this mighty superpower military machine? And who could have ever predicted 20 years later that the American superpower would be routed? You know who could have predicted that? The Trumpet Magazine. Bible prophecy. She writes, it is no longer willing. America is no longer willing to be in it for the long haul. I mean, we've got, for those, I know there's a 70% or so sentiment of people that just want to get out of Afghanistan, but there hasn't been an American casualty there in I think over a year. And so if you have a base there to maintain stability, how is that even much different than the bases we have all over the Gulf states, the bases we have in Europe, the bases we have in Korea, South Korea? To maintain stability in those regions. Think about the years and years the United States military spent, maybe not occupying, but certainly having a base close by to monitor the Korean Peninsula, to protect South Korea, to maintain stability in the heart of Europe. Cutting and running. It says here, we don't want to take the long haul, or we're not willing to be in it for the long haul. Melanie Phillips says it's no longer, America no longer has the stomach for a fight. In baleful contrast, jihadis take the longest possible view. They've been waging holy war against the enemies of Islam, as they view them, since the 7th century. And for them, this holy war won't end until the whole world is under Islamic rule, or the world itself ends, whichever comes first. That's the view they take. They're in it for the long haul. And now the jihadis, they're taking over Afghanistan, promising their fighters wives, in some cases, teenagers, 15-year-olds. They'll get wives from the people that they conquer and then execute the Afghans that helped America and America's allies. That's what's coming. It's already happening. It's already started. What the world is witnessing is the moral, societal, political, financial, and military disintegration of the American empire. This disintegration has intensified dramatically in the 20 years since my father announced that we entered into the last hour, and we started a college during the last hour. And we said, you know what? In many ways, this is the last hour college. It's a last hour college. That's how urgent we've got to be. Our young people, they come into the college program to help support the work, to help do the work. And what an urgent work it is. The disintegration of the American empire. Who could have possibly given you a prediction as accurate as what we did 20 years ago. But it goes back even long before then. Again, if you're familiar with Herbert Armstrong, if you're familiar with some of the prophecies that he talked about for decades, this is what he wrote in 1961, unless or until the United States as a whole represents and returns to what has become a hollow slogan on its dollars, In God We Trust, the United States of America has won its last war. That's from Herbert Armstrong in 1961. He said, I said that when we failed to win in Korea. I said it again now that the United States government endorsed this Cuban fiasco. Its president gave the go-ahead, and God, the God America has deserted, gave it its most humiliating defeat. He's talking about Korea. He's talking about Cuba. And that's in 1961. You keep going forward from there. 1975, the fall of Saigon. Americans being airlifted out. And it's happened again, this time in Kabul. Why is the United States superpower? Why is it losing all these wars? Tucker Carlson on his show last night, he said, when's the last time these guys, talking about the individuals heading up the Pentagon, he says, when's the last time they won a war? He doesn't know about the many prophecies of God, hundreds of them, in fact, prophecies that God has about specific nations, including our very own, the United States of America. Study Herbert Armstrong's book. Study the United States and Britain in prophecy. And then consider the events of the last few days and see the living proof of just how far America has fallen. There is just one other little wrinkle I think that we should bring out here, and that is the almost vicious press coverage that all of this is, or that the Biden administration is getting. And these are, you know, these are the ones that are usually doing everything that they can to protect him. Jake Tapper and MSNBC and CNN. Listen to this montage put together from this morning. This is some of the news coverage of the events that we've seen over the last few days. Clip 5.
And we're told the American flag has been lowered and removed. It will likely be replaced with a Taliban banner in the coming days, a humiliating symbol of two decades of American and coalition sacrifice that now appear to be have been in vain.
How did President Biden get this so wrong?
Secondly, we should hold him accountable for his leadership during this time, which has frankly been an utter failure. There is only one person to hold responsible, and that is President Biden.
But in its botched execution and wishful thinking, in its failure to anticipate the speed of the Taliban's advance, the Biden administration failed to prepare for the humanitarian crisis that is unfolding now.
I mean, to hear Jake Sullivan call this the successful drawdown of the U.S. embassy there, his words, I mean, is almost comical, right? I mean, I don't see how anybody could call that a successful drawdown given the circumstances we're seeing there.
Not much about what we're seeing seems too orderly or standard operating procedure.
President Biden ran for office as the foreign policy expert, decades of service in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and yet look at how poorly planned this seems to be right now. It is a calamity playing out hour by hour.
The Biden administration is now unable to articulate why the evacuation of its personnel and Afghan allies was botched so badly after Biden himself had vowed a competent withdrawal.
Joe Biden is going to be the face of the failure of the withdrawal.
Where is the president? You know, why isn't he communicating fulsomely to the American people?
The president has spoken to this issue a number of times in recent weeks.
John, totally different story than a few weeks ago, right? I mean, why isn't he out there now? Kabul fell yesterday. Where is the president?
The president said that the buck stopped with him, but in fact, the speech was full of finger pointing and blame, especially for the Afghans.
The buck stops here. He says the buck stops with him. Taking responsibility, that's important, except you can't really say the buck stops with me if you don't really take the blame.
Wow, that's... That's quite a sharp turn. Usually when he's in the basement, those same people are there saying everything's perfect. Everything's working out according to plan. It makes you wonder if they got a signal from the puppet master to cut loose. The puppet master, that would be Barack Obama. He handpicked Kamala, remember? He was orchestrating everything last year in that chaotic year, using COVID-19, all of the mail-in ballots. He had his lieutenants out there like Stacey Abrams to make sure that he could secure the steal. And then right up near the election last year, you had Obama. He was out on book tour. He was out talking about, you know, I'd like to, if I could run the presidency in my sweats from the basement, that'd be, I really do kind of like the work. I kind of like the thought of being the puppet master. And then, like we've covered before on this show, the fake president, he's just disposable. They don't need him. They needed him to get in to secure the steal because no one was as unpopular as Kamala Harris. But now they've successfully stolen the election. They're destroying the United States from within and without. As I say, these reverberations from what's happening in the Middle East, it's going to spread right around the world. But is the puppet master on the move? We'll see, I guess, real soon. But that's unusual for the pack of wolves in the media to actually go after Joe Biden, of all people. This whatever, the moves being done on the beneath the surface. Let's just return to the bigger picture here as we conclude. My father wrote a trumpet brief yesterday, and he said here, America's not just declining, it is dying. Other powers around the world see this clearly. They're taking advantage of this and preparing to replace American dominance with their own dominance. That is prophesied. That's why we have to keep coming back to the sure word of Bible prophecy. They're preparing. Even as you witness all these events, be assured that in China, in Russia, in Germany, they are preparing to replace American dominance with their own. America, it says, is being destroyed before our eyes. Many are now in a state of open despair. He says there's a sore lesson staring us in the face here. It points to prophecies in the Bible that we have been proclaiming not just since the Afghanistan war started 20 years ago, but even back to Vietnam, to Korea, and even World War II before that. My father says here, Bible prophecy was right about the rise of Britain and America, and it's right about the fall of Britain and America, and it's right about what will come next. He goes through some of the prophecies in Leviticus 26. America, Britain losing the pride and their power, their strength being spent in vain. And then he refers to another prophecy in Daniel chapter 2. So much prophecy is being fulfilled in so many ways all around the world. It's accelerating. It's racing along like never before. But he points us to, at the end of his trumpet brief yesterday, he points us to Daniel 2. You know, the Daniel 2 image, the four kingdoms, world-ruling kingdoms that succeed one another right up to the return of Christ to this earth and the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth, the fifth kingdom, in other words. That kingdom is coming. That kingdom is sure. God's prophecies, so many of these other ones we discuss on this program regularly, they have happened. They are being fulfilled. And so will this one, the spectacular return of Christ to this earth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. Email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll see you next time.